Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Friday Eve to you. This is The Cave Show. This is TLR. Hope everyone is having a beautiful and banner day today. We got football tonight. Titans and the Jaguars. I know you're excited. I bet you're all giddy about it, aren't you? Yeah. Don't think so. So, Kevin Durant's statement has really rubbed some people the wrong way. I'll give you LeBron's take on what KD said. Although, we all know what KD said, it's true. Paul Goldschmidt is done. He is no longer the face of the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about what the D-backs got back in return. And just the state of the D-backs. A lot to get into. President 41 laid to rest, so we definitely want to pay our respects to that. Welcome, everyone. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. And we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get on down there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. You also can become a club member, get a lock of the backs directly to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. Probably the best selection of cigars in the valley, so you got to get over and check them out. They also are now serving beer and wine. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located Alma School in Chandler Heights. Let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. Welcome, everyone. Happy Friday Eve to you. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. Here are the topics that we have. We have a lot of stuff to get into today, a lot of unpacking to do. Call in number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. If you have thoughts or anything on your mind, feel free to pick up the phone and give a call. Caller on hold, thank you for your patience. This is PLR, this is The Cave Show. To whom do I have the privilege of speaking?
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. It's Lou once again.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
Well, all right, which is now what's with the what you do with the Diamondbacks. I mean, Goldschmidt was one of your best players, so now what do you do?
Well, I guess the whole idea is definitely going to be of the Diamondbacks. Analytically, they're looking at what the Cubs did. They're looking at what Houston did. And honestly, I think that's their idea of what they would like to do, kind of break this thing down. Patrick Corbin has gone. Many thought that he was going to end up and the Pinstripes, but he opted to go to the Washington Nationals. So he's there. Chris Owings was let go, allowed to leave. He's elsewhere. And now Paul Goldschmidt. Now, the difference is with Goldschmidt is and has been for a while considered to be the face of the franchise. So
that's
I don't
right.
think you're just giving up. Yeah, you're not just giving up your best player. But you're giving up a player who's synonymous with the AZ Diamondbacks, possibly for like the last seven, eight years.
Yeah, that's what
Cardinals
I meant by what
get,
you, I mean.
No, go ahead, Lou.
Because I was mentioning, that is the best player in your team, so that was my response to now what? I mean, when you lose somebody like that, that's a bitter pill to swallow.
It is. It is a large pill to swallow, and it signals, Owings leaving, yes. Corbin leaving, yes. Knowing that they're not going to re-sign Pollock, yes. But when you give up the fate of the franchise, even if before people didn't believe that that the deal was going to happen, now you have no choice but to discuss or to know that that is a done deal, because like we both have just said, you've given up the face to the organization. And down there in Arizona, you got to really stop and think. Arizona professional sports aren't exactly in a good place, because the Phoenix Suns are arguably the worst franchise and the worst team in the NBA. The Cardinals are not doing well, and the face of the Cardinals for the last, you know, for the last 10, 12 years is Larry Fitzgerald.
The Coyotes.
And Shane Doan was the face of the Coyotes for a long time, and he's retired. And Larry Fitzgerald, we don't know if this is his last year or not. He wants to face in baseball now with Goldschmidt. And even though the players and the prospects they got back, you know, right-handed pitcher Luke Weaver and catcher Carson Kelly, along with infielder Andy Young, are supposed to be really good, especially Carson Kelly, who was never going to see the light of day playing catcher for the Cardinals behind Yadier Molina. But I always say this in baseball, those are prospects. They're called prospects for a reason, because they haven't done it consistently in the big leagues. And so it's a dangerous ship to go to when you're giving up every player of that's recognizable to the average fan in your city. And like I said, with Pollock, you know, obviously probably not going to come back, and Owings gone, and now Corbin gone, and now the face gone, you're basically asking the average fan to say, okay, all on this Grinky wagon, let's go. And I know the Diamondbacks have been saying all the right things, and they've been saying, you know, this is what we feel we have to do. They didn't want to get into a bidding war. They still owe a ton of money to Tomas, who is up in Reno living like he owns Vegas casinos with all the money the Diamondbacks threw at him. So the Diamondbacks, Jack Magruder, Hall of Fame voter Jack Magruder, and, you know, he covers for Field Level Sports and a lot of other things, incredible writer, was on the other day, and one of the things he said was, you know, even though Phoenix is not a small market, they technically are a small market because of the revenue that comes in. And, you know, I've always had it, I've always had an issue with that, just in the size of the city and the size of the TV revenue and the size of everything. And, you know, he pointed out the gate, and I agree with Jack. The gate is at here is tough, because teams like San Francisco, who I compare the Diamondbacks to a lot, saying, well, they spend a lot of money, the Giants do, and the Diamondbacks don't. And he said how the Giants sell out every seat. Well, I kind of fault the Diamondbacks for not selling out every seat. And this kind of goes to that. See, the difference is the Cubs can right now trade Bryant and anybody else on that team. The Cubs can trade away every player they have. And we're going to rebuild, and we're going to start over. Javi Baez, see ya. Bryant, see ya. All of you guys, we don't like what you're doing. We're going to start over. Cubs fans are going to come out. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Just like the Yankees. The Yankees can say right now we're going to rebuild from scratch, and everyone in New York would curse them left and right, but they're still going to show up at Yankee Stadium. It's just going to happen. Down here, because there's so many transient people that follow their teams from where they came from, it's a tougher pill to swallow, because you don't have that many people here all the time. Remember, the Diamondbacks haven't been around for 100 years, even though they have a World Series championship. Only been around for a little over 20 years. So they don't have that same loyalty. And that's why I think the difference is it's so dangerous to trade away the face of your organization.
Yes.
Will this make them better? Time will tell.
I don't know.
Time will tell. But to me, it's a gamble. It really can. He's 31 years old. He's never been a large cap hit for you. And so giving him 4 or 5 more years when his play hasn't really declined yet, I don't know. I don't know if that was necessarily such a bad thing, but what do we know, right? So we'll find out.
And like borderline, you know, he's not that young, but at the same time, he's not really, you know, an old man either. So it's kind of like now the borderline of his career.
You're 100% right. So we'll see. I mean, you know, I've been very fortunate, been able to cover the Diamondbacks for the last 7-8 years, and they were right there. See, and I think that's why it's so mind-boggling to me, in that 2 years ago, this is a team that was right there when they had J.D. Martinez, and they let him get away for financial reasons, which, again, I've said this before, Lou, and I don't know if you've ever heard me say it. If you own a professional sports team, I don't want to ever hear you cry poverty. If you can't afford the product,
right,
don't own the team. It's really, to me, just that simple. I don't want to hear you talk about revenue and splitting and this and fiscally conservative and all. If you own a team and you want to win, you got to pay to play. It's really just that simple. These money ball teams, they're great for 1 year or 2 years, but they're never long term. The Royals did a great job, but then they decided they couldn't pay everyone, and now look where the Royals are again. You got it. The reason why the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox are consistently good is because they pay the money. And I know that they bring in large revenue streams. I understand that. But part of the reason they bring in large revenue streams is because they've always paid to keep the talent,
right,
to keep people interested in their team. So I think a lot of that has a lot to do with that. And then last year you had a bad ending to the season, which is what kept the Diamondbacks out of the playoffs in the year. So the total rebuild now, I just don't get. But they said there's no way they could afford Corbin. There's no way they could afford Pollock. Especially with what they were paying for Greinke and how much they owe Tomas. So I don't know. I think the fans are taking a hit because the Diamondbacks technically have no money. And, again, you're a professional sports team. If you don't have money, get out of the game.
I think you have no money if you run a professional sports team.
You know what? And I get yelled down for that all the time about being fiscally responsible. Fiscally responsible, you go out and win a World Series. You go out and you go deep in the playoffs. I think fiscally you'll be okay. But then again, it's not my team. It's not my money. So it's not my wallet. Who am I to say what they should spend money on?
Go back to the glory year of 2001 when you beat my Yankees, of course.
Yeah, and look at the team that they had. They had Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, Luis Gonzalez. I mean, that team was stacked. But then, Lou, look up. 4 years later, there's no RJ, there's no Schilling, there's no Gonzo. Your team that lost in 2001, where were they 3-4 years later? Back competing to a World Series. So,
and we didn't have any Blake Sock either. So.
No, but my point of that, though, is that you could just look at the Marlins when you look at the way baseball is and the way baseball is constructed. The Marlins come out and they win a World Series. New franchise. They come out, they win a World Series, they cut their team. So then they start all over. They start all over from scratch. What do? They build another contender. They spend some money here smartly. They get right back to World Series. What do? They cut their team again. So if you live in South Beach, how are you ever a Marlins fan? Every time they have some prosperity, they no longer want to afford the prosperity. They want to gut the team. The Oakland A's, famous. Billy Beane, Moneyball, made a movie about it. Moneyball, Moneyball, Moneyball.
Yep, Moneyball.
What have the A's actually won? What have the A's actually done except become a professional minor league team for everyone else? Because as soon as a player gets good enough to pay, they let them walk away. So what exactly are you doing? And then when you look at the teams that have won consistently, not one up here, not here or there, not this or that, but consistently won the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Giants. You don't see them playing money ball. You
no.
see them play, doing things that fiscally make sense, but you don't see them playing money ball. You see them going out getting talent. For your once-a-year pop-ups, you know, the teams that pop up every now and then, yeah, you see them do okay, but then it's time. As soon as it's time to pay players, then they can't. Then they're gone.
No.
Milwaukee, real good. Time to pay some guys, they all leave. Marlins, real good. Time to pay some guys, they all leave. Diamondbacks, do good. Time to pay some guys, they all leave. You will never build the reputation of the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, if that's your
If you don't build it, they
your,
don't come.
They don't come and they don't stay. So, but Goldie's on, and big thanks to Goldie for all he's done in the Valley. You know, 31 years old, all-star last 6 years. You know, last year he went 290 with 33 homers, 83 RBI.
Not bad.
35 doubles, 90 walks. So, good player, man. He's a good player. So, the Cardinals got their first baseman back. You know, it'll be – and he's going to a baseball-rich city. I mean, the Cardinals, consistently, they're good.
Yeah.
I bet the Cardinals find a way to pay him. Cardinals in trade for him and give up these guys to let him play this 1 year and not give him a new deal. Somehow I bet the Cardinals find a way to have some money for him. But, again, the Cardinals are one of those teams that are always at the top. So that's the way it goes.
I'm afraid so.
Yep. Football game tonight, Lou. I'm sure you can't wait to watch the Jaguars play the Titans. I'm sure that's like
the what plays the what
tearing. Exactly. This is going to be one of the real duds of the Thursday night. Some of the Thursday night games this year, in fairness to the NFL, have been pretty good. This is a bad one. I mean, no one really gives a crap about either one of these teams watching them on a Thursday night, interrupting what plans you may have. Now, the upside to that, though, is for Tennessee. Tennessee wins this game. That puts them at 7-6, and that puts them as, one game away or half a game out of being the sixth wild card team. So for them, this game is very important because we pretty much already know New England's going to win that division. Houston's going to win this division now. And Kansas City's going to win this division. And unless the L.A. Chargers completely fall apart, they're going to win the division. And then up in the AFC North, we know the Steelers and the Ravens are going to, you know, go at it. I think the Ravens are playing well now. I'm still a little bit on their rookie quarterback, even though I think it's time. I don't want to see Flacco anymore. But you know the NFL pattern. If you can't throw the ball well, there's tape on you, they're going to find a way to make him beat them through the air. He's not going to be able to run all the time anymore. So I'm going to lean on the Steelers to win that division. But even if they don't, say Baltimore wins it, either one of them will be the wild card team, probably battling with the Indianapolis Colts, Tennessee Titans, and believe it or not, the Denver Broncos to get in, although they just lost their best receiver to an Achilles injury. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think the Dolphins are a good enough team to get in. I don't think they score enough points. But it's going to be an interesting finale. So the Titans can help their cause a long way by winning tonight.
And the college football awards are tonight, too. But there's only been one award that's been announced for Player of the Year.
Mr. Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. I don't know if I'd be too surprised by that. And usually, the Player of the Year does not go on to win the Heisman.
Very true. Very true. It's almost like you get one or the other. You don't usually get both. Don't know. I think they like to spread these awards around. Although, I will say this to you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kyler Murray won the Heisman this year.
Don't do this.
I think Tua, quarterback of Alabama, is an incredible quarterback. unlike a lot of people, I don't think he lost it on the last week with the injury when
yes.
Jalen Hurts had to come in and carry Alabama the rest of the way. I just think after watching what Oklahoma did all year, and at defense, I once sent out a tweet, Lou, that said, are any of the Oklahoma defenders on scholarship or all these walk-on guys? Because that defense has just gotten awful terrible. And for Kyler Murray to every week have the pressure to put up that amount of offense every single week because he knows his defense is that bad and that porous, I just think he did enough to win it. Now, Tua, on the other hand, had a magnificent year. He really, truly did. But it's a whole lot easier to play football when you know your defense can stop people. Tua barely played fourth quarters. Not saying that's his fault and that should stop him from winning the Heisman, but that's a whole different kind of pressure. When you're not playing fourth quarters because you're so far ahead, not only because of your talents, because your defense can stop people, but Kyler Murray had to play every second of every game because his defense got awful. So, and to consistently be that good, and both teams beat everybody that they played on their schedule. I know it took them two tries in Oklahoma to beat Texas, but be that what it may, they still beat every one of them. So I just like what Kyler Murray did. And he would get my Heisman vote with Tua being next in the line. But we'll find that out on Saturday as well. Also, when we watch Navy play Army, and I don't care what the record is in that game, Lou, I will always, 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 if I have the opportunity, watch Army play Navy, because there's just something about that game. You know, the pageantry of it, the tradition of it, watching the colors from both sides of that stadium, the Army side, the Navy side. And I remember years, years ago, and you probably remember this too, when both teams never passed the ball, hardly ever. You would have the wishbone on one side against the wishbone on the other side, one wide receiver, wishbone with two tight ends, running those one wide receiver patterns. That's just old throwback football.
Right. Oh, am I holding you up? I thought you had a guest coming.
No, you're good. You're good. He just texted me. He's running just a little bit late.
Okay, I just want to be sure. You know, I didn't, go over the allotted time.
Nope, you're good, my friend.
Oh, good. Okay, so let me ask you: who do you think is going to win the Heisman?
Kyler Murray.
Ooh. You think Murray's going to take it over Tag, huh?
I think he beats Tua just because, like I said, I think voters are going to realize here's a guy who had pressure to put up points every single possession just to offset that terrible defense. And Tua didn't have that same pressure just because his defense could play football. And it's almost unfair to Tua to lose it for that reason. But when you get down to it, you're splitting hairs anyway. And so I appreciate what the kid from Ohio State did. He had a magnificent year. He's probably going to be the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft, but it's not based on what you're going to do in the NFL. It's based on what you did in college, and I just think Kyler Murray is the guy.
Well, I think it's a possibility, but I think, with Tag, the way he's been performing, and I'm still going to go with Tag to win it.
Oh, you like the Alabama kid? Huh? Yeah, I like him. He's a baller. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Though, I thought, though, that I think I asked this question yesterday or not, or maybe it was another show, but I thought maybe Clemson would have took over the number one spot because they had a more easier victory than, say, Bama did last week. So I thought maybe there might have been a slight chance that Clemson would have took over number one. But that was not the case.
No, and they weren't. Alabama's been clearly the best team.
Bama just barely survived, the game against Georgia on Saturday, and Clemson, just took control. So I thought maybe that might have played a factor.
And maybe it would have if Pittsburgh could play, but Pittsburgh was just not a good team. They just happened to win their half of the bracket. So Clemson did what they were supposed to do, whereas Georgia, just remember, if Georgia had won that game, they're in the playoffs without a doubt, and they're probably jumping Clemson as the number one seed if they had won and Bama would have fell to four. If Clemson had lost to Pittsburgh, a 7-4 Pittsburgh team, Clemson would have lost and been out of the playoffs altogether. So that's the weight difference that those two teams, those teams have with each other. So think about it. Georgia lost to Alabama, and there are those, like even, you know, Herb Street over at the four letter, he still thought Georgia should get in as a two-loss team that didn't even win a conference title. So that much respect was given to Georgia. So by Bama coming back and winning, all they did was prove that they could come back against a quality opponent. Whereas Clemson, all they did was beat a team that they were heavily favored to beat. So I think that's where the difference is. And I think that's why Alabama is still number one. And the eye test still says that Alabama's still number one team. Think about it. Their quarterback, who's a Heisman finalist, hurt and goes out. And you put in a guy that's 26-2 as a starter and already had won a national title as a starter. So it's not like they went, you know, it's not like they went from Porterhouse down to Top Ramen. They just went from one steak to another steak.
All right. Yeah. So
I think that's
that was just my way of thinking. I mean, of course, I could be wrong. But that was just what I was thinking.
Yeah, there's no wrong or right. That makes all the sense in the world. Why has Clemson been number two? They've gone undefeated as well. My question is, how come UCF isn't in the title game? I can't wait till they play or in the playoffs. I can't wait till they play LSU. I'm really looking forward to it because they are truly damned if they do, damned if they don't. They won 12 games last year. They went undefeated. They beat Auburn. Yeah, Auburn, they were down. Auburn didn't really get up for this bowl game because they really thought they were going to do something different. Okay, well, you lost anyway. Now they go undefeated. Oh, well, we'll really see what they do now against the LSU team. So if they beat LSU, so here's my thing. If they beat LSU, what's the excuse then? Because people say, well, if they beat LSU, then they will have shown us something. But let's say they lose to LSU. I can say they lose to LSU. But they lose to LSU 17-14, 20-17, 23-17, something of that nature. Are they any different? You wanted to put Georgia in the playoffs, and they lost to LSU. So if UCF loses to LSU, they were a fraud. But Georgia loses to LSU, and somehow they still should be a playoff team. See, I think that's why I say no matter what they do, they are if they do and they are if they're not, which I think is unfair to them. But life isn't fair. Fair is where you judge pigs, right? So it doesn't really matter.
No, I suppose it doesn't.
But that's the story, my man.
All right.
What else
hopefully we'll be ready for our football
picks
tomorrow.
We are.
About it.
All right, buddy. Well, we will talk tomorrow. We'll get those picks in, and we'll talk then.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
All right, buddy. Take care. All righty. Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to get caught up with him. Always, always good. Always has good insight on what's going on in the world of sports. Yeah, like I said, University of Central Florida, no matter what they do, the big boys are going to make sure they lose. No matter what. So that is that story. Phoenix Suns play tonight. They play Portland. No Booker, no Warren. Tomorrow night, they're back in Phoenix. No Booker, no Warren. What are we looking for? We're looking for effort. See how that goes. We're going to wrap up tonight, or today's show, I should say, talking KD and his quotes about LeBron. And naturally, we switched to basketball, and I forgot.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Supposed to be my switch to basketball, but of course I air-brained it out. But we just mentioned what we said about the Suns' effort. KD said, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, a star doesn't want to play with LeBron. Folks, this isn't a surprise. This has been obvious forever. A top flight star is not going to go there. Now watch, I'll be proven wrong because Anthony Davis will go there, but Kawhi's not going, y'all. KD's not going there. Jimmy Butler ain't going there. Could it be someone younger like Anthony Davis? I think if anyone does, it would be, and I'm contradicting myself, it would be a younger guy like an AD because LeBron has signed a 4-year deal. He's getting up in age. By the time his game starts to go down a little bit, Anthony Davis, who is still young, I think he's still like 25, he'll be in his prime. So the baton can kind of be handed off. And then they'll be looking for the person to replace LeBron to be the next star of the Lakers, being a star that plays with LeBron. Because you get all of the blame when it goes wrong and none of the accolades when it goes right. See, I completely discount what happened in Miami because he was playing with his best friend. And when you're playing with your best friend, it's a lot different because they can feed off each other on the court, off the court. They're doing everything together. But it didn't work in Cleveland too long, did it? Kyrie wanted out. See, the thing is, as great as LeBron is, he conducts and dictates the narrative of the situation. Other stars, people just look at them as these are other stars. And the way I'm going to say this is going to sound, oh, here we go with the male ego. But other stars have egos too. And the male ego is a whole different thing. And the male ego doesn't want another male to direct the narrative for his life. And I still remember when someone asked Kyrie Irving, you know, having LeBron here and all this stuff, it's like having another father figure. And Kyrie was like, no, I have a father. I need a father figure. I have a father. And see, little things like that start to irritate you. Now, do I think Kyrie likes LeBron? Yes, I do. I really do. I think he likes LeBron a lot. I don't think there was ever any animosity, per se, between him and LeBron to the magnitude of, hey, I just want out. I don't ever want to play with this guy because I don't like this guy. I don't think it was ever that. Unlike Washington, where they just don't like each other at all. I think it was more, look, I don't want this other grown man dictating my narrative for the way I want to do things. I don't want my future based on, I don't want my future as a grown man based on what this other grown man wants to do. And see, and I think that's where you're going to have a problem in LA because a brand new superstar, a super superstar, is going to say, why do I want to come run second fiddle to this guy? I want to beat this guy. I don't want to help him secure his legacy. Why would KD, you think when KD retires, he wants to say, well, I help LeBron get more rings than I have? No. After this year, KD will have as many, if things go the way we think they will go, we'll have more rings than, or we'll have just as many rings as LeBron. Klay, Draymond, will have, all of them will have more rings than LeBron. Why would they want to go down there to help him get more accolades and them to play the second fiddle even more? See, I am firmly convinced that Klay is going nowhere, and I'm firmly convinced that Draymond is going nowhere. Although, I'm not as firmly convinced, and just what Draymond does is unicornish. Is that a word? Unicornish? Unicornish? Yeah, it's a word. We're going to make it a word. It's unicornish. But a lot of it is predicated on his body and what his body will do. And it's he was hurt a little bit last year. He's hurt again this year. And if his body can't continue to, then we have a whole other issue. Now, the one thing that Golden State has done, which is very smart, and I don't know if you noticed this, Iguodala is still Andre Iguodala, but they're developing young guys. Sean Livingston is still Sean Livingston, but they're developing younger guys. Like, I honestly think if not this year, next year is definitely the last year for Andre Iguodala. But Golden State is saying, hey, we need to develop some young guys to make sure we have those next set ready to play with Steph, to play with Clay. That's why I think Kevin Durant would be a walking nut if he decides to walk out of this situation. Because as long as Steph, Clay, and Durant stay together and they bring in the young talent, they keep infusing it, they're going to be perfectly fine. And I love Durant. I love what he does. I think he's, you know, top five players in the NBA. But this team goes as Steph goes. Whatever Steph does, when Steph is on the floor, he instantaneously makes everybody else better. So we'll see. But KD, you're right, man. Playing with LeBron is tough. LA, oh, we need a second fiddle. We need a confirmed second guy. You can't even find a second guy on your own roster because it is hard for a young player to develop playing with LBJ. And watch out for the Nuggets. That's all I'm going to say. Watch out for the Nuggets, man. And just think, they don't even have IT coming off the bench yet to give them some punch. They don't even have Will Barton back yet from his injury. Gary Harris is still in and out of lineup, nursing injury. Denver's going to be a 2 seed. And, you know, Oklahoma's playing better basketball this year, even after that slow start. And people keep saying the Clippers are going to fall off, the Clippers are going to fall off. I'm waiting for them to fall off that island. And isn't it amazing how good Mike Conley really is and never gets the love for it? Just saying. What do I know? I'm just saying. Thanks for joining the show today. This has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us social media at The Sports Cave, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. Cave is always with the K, and you can get us online at thesportscave.com. Again, where Cave is always with the K. You get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. All calls are made via the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Thanks for Lou for calling in. Good fan of the program. Got to hang out with him a little bit longer than normal, so that was always a good thing. Until tomorrow, everyone take care. Tomorrow is Friday, y'all. So you enjoy the rest of your Friday's Eve today. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a good rest of your Thursday. Take care.